I want to read my text, 1 John chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. In chapter 1 of 1 John, the apostle joyfully proclaims the glad tidings, the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In verse 9, he declared, if we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Augustus Toplady, who lived in the 18th century, actually he lived only 38 years. Toplady was born in 1740 and died in 1778. He was a brilliant young man. He wrote the hymn, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. But he took an oddly mathematical approach to sin. Augustus Toplady, the brilliant songwriter and minister of the gospel, who died at such an early age, calculated that every human being commits at least one sin every second of his life. That's the way he calculated sin. He said anyone who lives to be 80 will have broken God's law 2,522,880,000 times. It's small wonder, believing that he threw himself so completely into the writing of the hymn, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow, could my zeal no longer know, these for my sin could never atone. Christ must save and Christ alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from 2,522,880,000 sins and more. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, effectually cleanses the believer from all sin, all the evil thoughts, all of the hate, all of the envy, all of the covetousness, all of the pride, all of the rebellion, all of the lust, all of the guilt, even of murdering God's own Son. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, presents us holy and unblameable and unreprovable and faultless before His glory, before His presence, and before His face. That's the good news. That's the glad tidings. That's what the angels announced to the shepherds that morning 2,000 years ago. We bring you glad tidings of great joy. Unto you is born a Savior who cleanseth you from all sin. All sin, totally. Totally cleansed, totally delivered, totally purified, totally justified, totally sanctified from all guilt. On the other hand, John presents the truth of remaining sin. He presents the truth of indwelling sin. He presents a shocking truth that is learned quite quickly by every believer, and that is that sin is still present with us and in us. For he said, after declaring that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin, he says in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But John, you said Christ delivered us from all sin. Now you say we still have sin. Christ purifies and sanctifies and cleanseth us from all sin, yet we still have indwelling sin. We still have the nature of sin. It's still there. And he says, if we confess these sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. No man is free from sin. We are free from the punishment of sin and free from the penalty of sin and free from the practice of sin and free from the love of sin, but we're not free from the presence of sin. David, the man after God's own heart, wept over his sins. He said, my sins are ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Isaiah, the man of God, the prophet of God, said, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Job, of whom God declared he is a righteous man, declared himself, I hate myself. I repent in sackcloth and ashes. The Apostle Peter, the prophet of God, the preacher of Pentecost, said, depart from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. The Apostle Paul, founder of churches, ordainer of elders, writer of Scripture, said, when I would do good, I find that evil is present with me. Now in chapter 2, as John starts off this chapter, verse 1, he does battle with two extremes. Now in chapter 1, he declares the good news. Christ and his blood cleanseth, purifieth, maketh atonement, putteth away all sin. And yet he declares that the presence of sin is still a matter to be dealt with. It's still a living enemy. It's still an indwelling fact that we cannot deny. And as he starts off chapter 2, he does battle with the two extremes that arise in the natural mind as a result of this gospel. He does battle with presumption. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. That you sin not. You're commanded not to sin. Somebody says, well, preacher, if my sins magnify the grace of God, if the jewel and diamond of redemption shines the brightest on the background of my black heart, if cleansing my guilt glorifies the mercy of God, then let's do evil that good may come. If my sins are all forgiven under the blood, then it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter how I live. Paul says, God forbid. And John declares, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. Do battle against sin. Resist sin. You cannot approve of sin. You cannot love sin and love God. With the forgiveness of sin comes also a love for righteousness. With the forgiveness of sin comes also a desire to walk with Christ and to glorify His matchless name. And presumption is an evil with which the apostle does great battle right here. My little children, sure sin abides in you. Sure the presence of sin is with you. Sure any man who says he does not sin and has no sin is a liar, and the word of God doth not abide in him. But I write this unto you, that you sin not. And then the other, well, now here that leads us to the other extreme. And that is not presumption. And I have no care, no worry about you falling into the ditch of presumption. I don't believe that any of you who love Christ will fall into the pit of presumption. I don't believe any man who has been redeemed and who has been born again and in whom the Spirit of Christ dwells, I don't have any anxious moments at all regarding his falling into presumption. But I do worry about you falling into the other side, into the other pit, into the other rut. And that is despair. Well, I don't love sin. But, preacher, I do know sin. I don't walk to sin, but I do feel sin. I don't want to break God's law, but I do experience sin. And sin is present with me. And I find at the close of the day that I must pray, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I've said what I shouldn't say. I've thought what I shouldn't thought. I've done what I shouldn't do. And it's that way at the close of every day. Perhaps I'm not saved. Perhaps I'm not a child of God, since sin is such a reality to me. Perhaps I just don't know the Lord. Now, either one of these ditches is dangerous. It's dangerous to fall into presumption and say, well, if we're saved, so what? If we're Christians and the blood of Christ has put away all our guilt, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter how we act. It doesn't matter what we do. Christ has saved us. It's over, it's done with, we're cleansed, we're forgiven. Doesn't matter how we think or how we live. Doesn't matter whether we love people or forgive people or generous or kind, whether we're proud, arrogant, haughty. Doesn't matter whether we're passionate, lustful, evil. Doesn't matter whether we gossip, slander. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all, because we're saved. That's presumption. And John said, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. That you sin not. Well, I can't cope with that. So that leads me to despair. That leads me to fall into the other ditch. Well, I do think things. I do say things. I do react. I do respond. I do these things. I sin. I know that I do. To deny it would be lying. Lady, I'm not saved. What's the next line? My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, he's not saved. That's not what it says. And if any man sin, well, he's just not been born again. That's not what it says. If any man sin, he's fallen from grace and he's got to get saved over again. That's not what it says. John knows what goes on. John, writing under the influence and power of the Holy Spirit, John's nobody's fool. John knows that he's writing to human beings. John knows that he's writing to people who love Christ, but yet he's writing to people, sons of Adam, in whom the law of sin still dwells. And John says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate, a lawyer, one who pleads our case. If we do sin, the door of mercy is not shut. If we do sin, God has not forsaken us. If we do sin, God's remedy for sin is just as effectual for the saved as it is for the lost. God's remedy, which flowed from the veins of the Son of God at Calvary, can cleanse the believer just as quickly as it can cleanse the unbeliever. This is the sum of the whole gospel. Christ Jesus is the surety of the eternal covenant. He is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He is the ransom for sin that we committed in Adam as a race, in our representative. Christ Jesus is the sin offering at Calvary, which atoned for all our sin and all our guilt and put it away by His death. And Christ Jesus is the advocate now with the Father. And it's been Christ from before the world began, just as it's Christ in eternity future. It's Christ. And He's my advocate. I know this, and you may not like this too well, but this is true, and every honest person in this building tonight will say amen to this statement. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. In the flesh I never please God. My righteousnesses are filthy rags. I cannot breathe without sin. The smell of decay and the smell of death is in me and upon me. Why do you think that you have to use mouthwash? I'm serious. Why do you think you have to use deodorant? It's because of the decay of flesh. That's right. All of the decay of flesh is brought about by the death of sin. That's what the whole thing's all about. Why do you think your teeth rot? Why do you think your flesh smells? Why do you think your breath is the breath of the open sepulcher? That's death and decay, and that's corruption. The corruption of the flesh. We cannot even preach or pray or sing or worship without the presence of sin. My repentance needs to be repented of, and my tears of remorse rise up out of self-pity. That's right. He said, oh, that fellow's really repenting. He's weeping. About 99% of it arises out of self-pity. And my alms are given, most of them are given out of self-love. My sanctification arises out of self-righteousness. My service to God reeks of self-glory. My feelings of holiness arise out of ignorance. Ignorance of myself and ignorance of God. There's enough tinder in the most moral man and woman to keep the flames of hell burning for eternity. O Christ, my advocate, plead my cause. Let thy blood be propitiation for me, the sinner, definite article. Leave me not alone, not for one second, or the sin of that second will banish me forever from the presence of God the Father. If any man sin, thank God, we have an advocate. If any man sin, thank God, we have an intercessor. If any man sin, thank God, we have one who pleads our cause. Now, three things, briefly. Number one, we have an advocate. Number two, where is he? Number three, who is he? Number one, we have an advocate. Now, the word advocate, listen to this. I'm not being smart. I just want to tell you something. Advocate is a metaphor that is taken from the Romans and the Greeks. And the proper office of an advocate is to defend the accused person against his adversary. That's exactly what it means. An advocate is a person designated to defend the accused against his adversary. Now, who is the accused? Huh? If any man sin. It's the sinner. It's me and it's you. We are the accused. We are the guilty. Now then, who is the accuser? Who is the adversary? We said Satan. Well, in a sense it is, but not totally. The adversary is the law of God. That's who the adversary is. That's who's got you on trial. That's who accuses you. It's the law of God. It's the justice of God. It's the holiness of God. We are the accused, and the law of God is the accuser. Now, what's the charge? S-I-N. S-I-N. 2,522,880,000 charges. I talked to a young man in prison just 3-4 weeks ago. And he said, "What?" I said, "What are you in here for?" He said, I'm in here on three counts. Three counts. I said, "What kind of sentence did you get?" He said, "I got from 3 to 40 years. Three counts, you got 3 to 40 years? Oh boy, I'm in a mess. I got 2,522,880,000, Top Lady said. Eternity alone, eternity itself, eternity in its infinity will never allow me to serve enough time to pay my debt. The charge is sin. Now, who is the advocate who pleads for me against the law of God and the justice of God? The Lord Jesus Christ. I have an advocate. The law accuses me, and the law charges me, and sin is the charge, and Christ stands by to wipe away the charge and to prove my innocence. Turn to Romans chapter 8, the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 33. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. If any man sin, my sins, the bliss of that glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, my soul. If any man sin, we have an effectual advocate. If any man sin, we have an effectual intercessor. John didn't say we have advocates. He said an advocate. John knew nothing about the intercession of saints. Oh, St. Jude, pray for me. I want to go on record right now. I don't want St. Jude to pray for me. I don't need St. Jude. St. Jude's a sinner. St. Jude's a rebel. St. Jude violated God's law just like I did. And St. Jude's going to the same hell I'm going to if Jesus Christ doesn't plead his call. I don't want St. Jude to plead for me. St. Jude, if you're listening to me, don't you say one prayer for me. I don't need you. I've got Jesus Christ to plead my call. Mary, I don't want you to pray for me. I don't want your prayers. I want to go on record right now. I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ so strongly that I don't want Mary's prayers. She can't help me. She's a sinner saved by the grace of God. I'm not playing games. And I'm not afraid to say what I'm saying. John didn't know anything about the intercession of Mary. He didn't know anything about the intercession of saints. John said, if any man sin, we have an advocate, and he's Jesus Christ. And I'm complete in him. And I don't need anything else or anybody else. I don't need your water. I don't need your sacraments. I don't need your intercessors. I don't need your priests or your cardinals. I don't need your holy water. I need Christ, and He's all I need. He's all I need. We have an advocate. Little children, we have an advocate. We have an advocate who's always heard. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "The Father always hears me." The Father said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. He cannot fail," said the prophet. And then in John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ said this. In verse 37, "All that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing, but I'll raise it up again at the last day. Now I have sinned and come short of God's glory." And Mr. Toplady's sins are no more numerous and no greater than mine. For to offend in one point of the law is to break the whole law of God. And I'm in trouble. I'm the accused. And the holy, spotless law of God is the accuser. And the charge is sin. And the penalty is hell. But I boldly declare unto you, I don't want anybody's help but Jesus Christ. Nobody's. I don't want any. Some people seem to think that the more religious you are, the better chance you got. You're dead wrong on that score. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son shall not see life, no matter how much help he's got. No matter how many ladders he's bought, no matter how many helpers he's secured, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. We have one advocate. There is one God, and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. All others are frail, all others are faulty, all others are flimsy, all others cannot help put together. They couldn't put away one sin, all of them put together. All the saints of all generations and all ages, led by the purest mortals, couldn't put away one sin. But Jesus Christ, my Lord, can put away all sin. And all my hopes in Him, and all my confidences in Him, and all my faith rests in Him. He cannot fail. Second thing, we have an advocate. Where is he? He's with the Father. I don't know about these other folks, but I know where he is. He said, "I go to my Father." That's where he is. He's in the Holy of Holies. I don't know where they are, but I know where he is. Who is this Jesus Christ? Well, he's the only begotten Son of the Father. He was with the Father in the beginning. He's the Creator of all things. He's the brightness of the Father's glory. He's the express image of the Father's person. The government is on His shoulders. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's who He is. What did He do? Well, He left the Father's glory on directions from the Father, fulfilling a covenant designed by the Father. And He came down here to this earth. And for a season, He clothed Himself in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was born under the law. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. He pleased the Father in the flesh, something I can't do and you can't do. He took our sins in His body, and He died on the cross as the sin offering. He was buried, and He rose again for our justification. Where is He now? Look at it. If any man sins, we have an advocate. Where is he? He's with the Father. He's not down in some musty, smelly, old, dirty, dusty cathedral. He's with the Father. He's with the Father. He's not in the grave. He's not on the cross. He's not hanging on a crucifix. He's not in a casket somewhere where they worship the dead Christ. He's with the Father. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. I want you to read this along with me. Hebrews 9, verse 11. Hebrews 9, 11. But Christ, being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 24. Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And brethren, He is our high priest continually. Look at Hebrews 7, verse 24. This man, Jesus Christ, this God-man, because He continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, Hebrews 7:25, wherefore, because He abideth forever, because He has an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost, or evermore, that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Christ ever liveth for this purpose, for this cause, for this task, to make intercession for me. If I sin, I have an advocate. And He's with the Father. And He's in the Holy of Holies. And His business there is to call my name and defend me against the law and against the justice of God and against the charge of any accuser. And He's there for that purpose. He's my advocate with the Father. He's my intercessor. He's my pleader. And He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back again and receive you unto myself. Now the last statement. John says, little children, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Now underscore these two words, the righteous. Brethren, He is as righteous in His intercession as He was in His suffering. Now we know that His being without sin rendered Him fit to bear our sins on the cross. Look at 1 John 3:5. It says, we know that He was manifested to take away sin, and in Him is no sin. In Christ there is no sin. And we know that His being without sin rendered Him fit to be our Savior, to be our sacrifice, to be our Redeemer. If He'd had sins, He couldn't have died for mine. All right? His being without sin, His righteousness also renders Him fit to be my priest, renders Him fit to be my advocate. If He had any sin, He couldn't be in heaven, much less my advocate. God tried Him, and God found Him without sin. God tried Him. Christ was tried, tested in all points, and the Father found Him without fault. And He lives in heaven right now. Jesus Christ, the righteous, lives in heaven, a pure person. He had no sin of His own for which to suffer in the world, and He has no sin of His own for which to solicit mercy now. He took my sin when He was on the earth and paid for them and went to glory and pleads for the forgiveness of them. And whatever He pleads for is righteous. If it were unrighteous, He wouldn't plead for it. If it were unrighteous, He wouldn't get it. Now watch this. My little children, if any man sin, the door of mercy is not shut. The presence of God is not withdrawn. The gates of glory are not closed. Your name is not erased from the book of life. You have an advocate. And he's with the Father. It says you have an advocate. It doesn't say we had one yesterday and he's not anymore. It doesn't say we shall have one someday. It says we have right now and every now we have an advocate. And Jesus Christ, Mr. Top Lady, though we sin every second and possibly more, Jesus Christ never ceases the exercise of his office. His office is never closed. He's never out to lunch. And his line's never busy. We have an advocate with the Father, a continual advocate. And just as there are continual sins in the believer, there are continual intercessions before the Father by the advocate. His advocacy, like his life, is without end. For what does he plead? And I close. He pleads for my justification. He pleads for my sanctification. Sanctify them through thy truth. O Father, thy word is truth. He pleads for my perseverance in grace. He said, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. He pleads for my eternal glory, that they may behold my glory. That they may behold my glory, which I had with thee before the world was. I pray not for the world, he said. I pray for them which thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And I pray that thou would keep them, Father. Sanctify them, keep them, and I pray that they may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And I'll guarantee you on the authority of God's word and on the very throne of God and on his faithfulness, what Jesus Christ prays for, Jesus Christ gets. He cannot fail. And he's my advocate. And he's your advocate. And I warn you about presumption, a man's fool to be presumptuous of the grace of God and to throw off the bars and say it doesn't matter. That's foolish talk. But I'll tell you something else. Despair is foolish too, and it's a sin. And it's doubting the love of God. And it's doubting the faithfulness of God. And it's doubting the promises of God. And people who run around with their tails between their legs and their heads all bowed down, say, well, I guess I'm not saved. You're doubting the very mercy of your Father himself. And that's as great a sin as the man who's presumptuous. I'd rather be guilty of taking God's mercy for granted than to put a question mark on it. I'd rather be guilty of taking God's mercy for granted than to put a question mark on God's grace and on the effectual work of God's Son. It's serious. Our Father, anoint thy word and this message with the power of the Holy Ghost and make it effectual. And deliver us from presumption. O God, help us to love thee more. O God, help us to walk as Christ walked. Help us to manifest the love and mercy and grace and humility and faith of our Lord. Let others see Christ in us. Let us others see his loveliness in us and his mercy in us and his faithfulness in us. Lord, deliver us from presumption. Help us day by day to grow sweeter. And, O Lord, deliver us from despair. It is no credit to thy glory that thy children should doubt thy love and doubt thy promises. And, O Lord, deliver us from this ditch of despair. These things I write unto you that you sin not, and if any man sin, oh, thank God we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. For we pray in his name, and only in his name, and because of his name, and thanking thee moment by moment for his name, and the privilege of pleading in his name. Amen.